I imagine that most of us, all of us, are still very much under the roshem of the Siyum HaShas. It wasn't so long ago where we all sort of looked on with our mouths open with unbelievable hispilus of all these Yidden who got together. And, well, we all know it and you've heard it enough. But the roshem, I don't think, has left any of us. And here's a little riddle. In which parsha in the Torah is the Siyum HaShas Merumas? Just a little light-hearted riddling. Yeah, is there a parsha in the Torah in which the Siyum HaShas, which we all just now experienced, is it Merumas anywhere? Well, the answer is yes, in my opinion. And I think that the place where it's merumas is in the Shema Yisrael Medvav base, where it talks about the people who were involved in building the Mishkan. Kol ish chacham lev, asher nosan Hashem chochmo belibo, kol asher neso'o libo, to get to the melacha. Very interesting pasuk, that who are the people who were involved in building the Mishkan? Kol ish chacham lev, he had to be a chacham lev, asher nosan Hashem chochmo belibo. There was a special gift that the Ribbono Shel Olam put into his heart, chochmo. And moreover, kol asher nesoo libo, and besides the chochmo in his heart, he needed to have the self-confidence that in another place, the Ramban calls it the pasuk "Vayigba libo bedake Hashem," that his lev, his sense of personhood, his sense of being a yid, gives him such a sense of confidence that he says, "It's okay, I'm going to be able to do it." It's very, very interesting. The Ramban, where is it? He says over here, when in Lamet Hechov Aleph, Vayavoyo kol ish asher neso oy libay. So who's the ish asher neso oy libay? Al hachachomim ha'oysim b'melocha yom ha'kein. Because you don't find neso oy libay by the misnadvim. That's called nedivas, but tam asher neso oy libay lekavo el hamlocha, ki loyhoyo bohem shelomad es hamlocha so ele memelamed. These were all slaves who'd been busy building cities, Pisa and Ramses, with bricks and with mortar. That's not the same as doing this very, very careful work in gold and silver and the weaving and so on. None of them had any training. They found in themselves, he knew with absolute clarity. Ani e'ese kol asher adoni dover. You understand what he's saying over here? Here's this guy who's never in his life had any of these tools in his hands. He has no idea how to deal with gold. He has no idea how to deal with silver. He has no idea of anything. And you know what? He knows it all. Shenesu'o libo. The Rabbani Shem put chachma in him, but the chachma itself is not going to get you anywhere. The chachma only gets you somewhere if you have neso'o libo, you have the courage, you have the sense of certainty that if the Ribbono Shel Olam puts you into a situation where this reaction is required, so he's going to give me the ability to do it. That's such an unbelievable thing, this combination. That Hashem put chokhmah in his heart, that Hashem can do. That's the Rabbi Hashem's business. So he put chokhmah in his heart. Aber how I use it. If I have the self-confidence to go to my Rabbeinu, what's the Lashon again here in the Ramban? Yeah, so Vayigba Libay B'dakei Hashem Lovay Lefnei Moshe Leimalo Ani Ese Koil Asha Adan Eidover. It's unbelievable. And the Ramban even quotes himself. He was happy with what he wrote earlier. He says, Ukra Hizkati Ze Beseide Ho'acha, that's in Kisisa, Lamed Aleph Beis. Just read that to you, a little shtickle over here, because it's really very, very interesting. Re'ei korosi b'shem Bezalel ben Uri ben Chur, Oma Hashem le Moshe, Re'ei korosi b'shem, U'moshe Oma le Yisroel, Ru'u koro Hashem b'shem, b'hatam, what does that mean? Ki Yisroel b'mitzrayim, peruchim b'avoidas choymo leveinim. They were smashed. They didn't have any koyach anymore, schlepping these huge stones up and down and in and out and back and forth. Loy lomdu melechas kesev v'zohav v'charoshes avonem toivos v'loy rohu oisam klal v'hine hu pele sheyimtze bohem odom chochem godol b'kesev v'zohav v'charoshes even v'eitz v'choshev v'roikem v'oirek ki af beloimden v'fnei chachomim lo yimtze bo ki b'chol ha'umni yashayle. Where does a yid like Bezalel know all these things? V'hayoydem v'regilim bohem. And even, the Ramban says, Ramban understood how the world worked. And says, even people who were trained in these artistic endeavors, but bevo yedehem tomit betit v'refesh, lo yuchlu lasos ben umnestako v'yofem oed. The hands are going to become, they're not used to this fine kind of work anymore. They're schlepping, they know how to schlep stones and to push wheelbarrows, but to go and make these stucco-sticker things, oh, lo yuchlu lasos ben umnestako v'yofem oed. V'oitshu chocham godo b'chochmo v'svuno v'das lehovin soid ha-mishkon v'chol keilof lomo tzivo v'alma yirmezu v'lochein om ha-shem le-moyshe she-yire ha-pele ha-ze. Look what I gave you over here, this Bezalel. V'yeda ki hu milei ose ruach Elohim lodas kol eile b'avur she-yase ha-mishkon ki ho yorotzon milfon av lasas ha-mishkon b'midbo d'rebon shom wanted the mishkon. And so on and so forth. It's unbelievable. So that's what you need. You need Nesoi Libay. No, nowadays, we're lucky. Never, not well anymore. I don't know exactly as much of it at the moment. But Rav Shuster, the Yid who brought thousands of Yidden back to Yiddishkeit by the Kaisel. I've never met him, but people have told me who know him that he was a very wise, a very shy, quiet individual. And he wasn't shepherding anybody, he wasn't this, he wasn't that, he was in his Dalet Amos, and he did what a good Yid is supposed to do. And suddenly, he becomes the savior of the Dayah. Thousands of Yidden. And so I live by the sense of, I can't think of the words anymore which I want. The intuitively, that's not the right word either, which I'm thinking about. But to be able to say, this is what's needed. You have these fellows coming to the castle, and what's going to happen to them? What roshim is it going to leave? So I, Mr. Stillkeit, and Mr. Quietness, and Mr. Not Mixing into Anybody's Business, I am going to stand from morning till night at the Kaisel and schlep these people willy-nilly, whether they want to or whether they don't initially, and going to make kosher Yidden out of them. That's Nesias Halev. That's what I meant when I said before that the Parshias are a hint at the Siyum Hashas. Because what did we see by the Siyum Hashas? It was the same kind of thing. Like you have Yidden over there. Oh, there were Yidden with long beards and the big Tamidei Chachomim and so on and so on. But there were Poshut to Yidden, if there is such a thing as a Poshut to Yid. There were Poshut to Yidden, Balibatim, who worked for their living. And they finished Shas. They finished Shas. When the soil liberated, The Rabbi Hashem gave them a measure of Chachma, like it says in the Pasuk. But the Nesius HaLev, that my heart tells me, yes, I can do that. Yes, I can do that. I can't imagine what went through the mind of many of these people on the first night when they sat down with Beis Amad Aleph and Brochas. For 7 years, I'm being mishabed myself now to go and learn a daf every day. It just boggles the mind. That's the Nesius HaLev. That's why Vayakel, I was going to say Vayakel, is a very, very exciting pasha. Now, believe me, it ain't so exciting, because we've learned it all in Truma, we've learned it all in Tetzaveh, and we've got it and we've learned it, and Nachamol, and Nachamol, and Nachamol, and Nachamol, and Nachamol. Now we have to say it all over again. And that is this exciting pasha, which says that you can gather up enthusiasm for it, and Nachamol, and Nachamol, and Nachamol. The Ramban over there also, he notes this issue that the protem of the Avodas HaMikdash are so often repeated. Nachamol, what do we need it all? We've heard it all before. Nu va'al haklal, he says, in Lamed Vav Ches, va'al haklal, kol ze derech chiba v'derech maila, loyme, ki chofetz Hashem b'melocha, umazki oiso b'teirosoi p'omim rabois, Lehabois scha leoiskimba. Kiinyan mash amru bemedrash. Yofe sichas avde ovois lefnea kodesh borchu mit teirosum shel bonem. Shahare pashosa shel Eliezer shnaim shlosho dapinhe. Yeah, the story of Eliezer when he went to find Rivka is told in such detail, in such loving detail. Nachamol, Nachamol. First when he has the idea, then when he puts the idea into practice, and then when he tells it to Besula and Lavan. Like, yeah, we've heard it already, we know it. Why again and again and again and again and again? Was sagt der Rabbeinu Shlalom? That Yofe Sichosam Shal Avde Ovas Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mit Herosam Shal Bonem. Never really thought that through so much. Why is it like that? That Yofe Sichosan Shal Avde Ovas Yosem Mit Terosam Shal Bonim. Terosam Shal Bonim is a ganz gute Sach. Yeah, you have thousands of Bach and Bach Hashem. Keile junge Leute sitting and learning Terosam Shal Bonim. So what? And so Eliezer was a good Shatran. So Yofe Sichosan Shal Avde Ovas Yosem Mit Terosam Shal Bonim. Why is it like that? You'd think that the Taros of Shel Bonim is more important. So, but it's not. It's, what does it say? Yofe Sichosan Sichas Avde Ovas Lifnea Kodesh Baruch Hu Mit Taros of Shel Bonim. Wow. So we're not talking about ourselves. We're talking about the Rabbeinu Shalom. We're saying that the Rabbeinu Shalom has more nachas from Eliezer's Sicha than from 5,000 koilers. Now, what's going on over here? What does that mean? So I think that what it means, and really it makes a lot of sense, that the Teirosan Shel Bonim is that the Rabbeinu Shem writes in his Torah, I want you to do this, I want you to do that, I don't want you to do this, I don't want you to do that. It's a theoretical kind of rule book which tells us how a Yid is supposed to act, what he's supposed to do, what he's not supposed to do. Well, that's a very beautiful thing, and that's what Yidden spend their time and their lives learning and learning and learning and learning and Baruch Hashem. But what Sichosan Shel Avde Ovas, that is Torah in practice. That's not a theory where the Rabbeinu Shalom says, I want you to do this, I want you to do that, I want you to do this, I want you to do that. That is Torah in practice. Eliezer comes along, and he's a Moyrodik Yid. Oh, he's not a Yid, but he's Moyrodik, he's a Talmud of Avraham. You take as a Moshel, for example, at Chazal say, Ulai lo soive ho'isha lo leches acharai. So Moses says, Eilai ksev. It doesn't say Ulai, it says Eilai, the wolf is missing, and the wolf is missing. So you can read it Eilai. So really, he had the Kavon, I think that Yitzchak would be a wonderful shidduch for my beautiful daughter. And, oh, Eli, yeah, saying to Avraham, or hinting to Avraham, direct your son towards me. I'm a good mishpacha, I'm your Talmud. Let him marry my daughter. So he didn't know that Ein Oro Mistavik Bebaruch. But what's this business about the Eli? Why? Why do I say that? Because 1 year, I just checked it out, and I found to my intense surprise, shouldn't have been a surprise, I'd heard it plenty of times before, but I'd never really noticed it, that when the story is told, that what happened when Avraham called Eliezer, yeah, and Eliezer said, Ulai lai, that she won't come with me, right, there it doesn't say Chose, it says it Mole, it says it Withervoth. Where does it say it, Eli Ksiv? That's later on when he's already by Besuel and Lovan. So there, when he tells the story that Avraham called me over and said I should come and find a shidduch for Yitzchak, yeah, and I said to him, Ulai lo soive ho isha lo leches. So there it's Ulai without the Vav. Oh, so why is it like that? That if the Torah wants to be Meramez, the Eli Kesev, so why is it Meramez it only when he tells it to Besuel, but at the original moment when Itaka says the word, there it's Mole, alle gute Sachen. So what's Taka the Pshat? So I don't know whether this is the right explanation, but I think it's the right explanation. And that is that it's very poshut. That as long as Eliezer was still like in the Pasha, like he was hoping and hoping and hoping and hoping and hoping, so why should he take the Vav out of Ulai? Ulai lo soive ho isha, right? And he had this thought in his mind also, maybe it'll taka work out. So there's no reason, it wasn't in his consciousness that he was really Nagea over here and wanted the Yitzchak for himself. Later on, when he's already in the house of Besuel and Lavan, so there he has no more hopes at all. He's out of the Pasha. He's found Rivka, and Rivka is there, and Rivka is going to be the color, and the Nama Omein, and that's it. So he's out of the picture, completely out of the picture. When he is out of the picture, he suddenly realizes that original Ulai, which I thought was a perfectly legitimate and a perfectly honest Ulai, now I understand, I can see the krumkeit of human beings. I can see how we are meshuchah to do this. That is a picture of an Erlich Hayit. Yofe sichosan shel avde ovas yoysa mitarosan shel bonim. It's not a theoretical construct. You know, if you do this and this and this and this, and you keep away from doing that and that and that and that, you're going to be an Erlich Hayit. That's theory, right? When an Eved Avraham moves from an Ulai with a Vav to an Eli without an Ulai without the Vav to an Eli, and suddenly chaps what's going on inside his motivational exercises which take place deep in his heart, and he's not even aware of what's going on. That is what the Rabbi Nishram looks down and he says, wow, if an Eved of the Ovos can talk like that, can be so honest with himself, can be so determined to dig out any kind of imperfection. Oh, Yofe Sichosan. Yidden are learning Torah, it's wonderful. And I hope that in Yetz Hashem they'll internalize the Torah that they learn and become Erlich Yidden along the way. But it's a theory. Oh, but this is Torah in practice. It's a Moyer de Gesach. And that's, I think, why it says Yofe Sichosan shall have the others. And Mimele, like, it's a very funny thing. Like, why did the Ramban think of making this comparison? Let me read that passage to you again. V'al ha'klal kol ze b'derech chibo v'derech maila. Loimer ki chofetz Hashem b'melocho u'mazke oise b'teroso po'omim rabbeis l'habeis scha l'oiskim bo. Ki inyen ma'asha amru b'medrash yofes sichas avde ovas l'fnei ha'kodesh boch u'mitarosom shal bonim. Share Pashosa Shal Yeza Shnaim Shlosha Dapin He. Like, what is that? What is that mavhir? What is it making plain? This moshul keinyan mashu amru b'medrash, that the sichoson shel avdei ovos was yofi to the Ribbono shel Olam more than the teiroson shel banim. Like, what's this got to do with over here? The Ribbono shel Olam repeats the melechas hamishkan. Why? I don't know, like the difficult, and like at first sight it seems to me that it's not easy to understand what the shaykhus is over here. But I think, you know what, I think that just like I explained just now, that with the Eliezer story, that only once he was completely hopeless, it was not going to work. The idea which had sort of tickled his mind and said, well, maybe I can bring off this shidduch. Now it was finished. He was already by Besuel and Lovan, and they're getting ready to pack the bags, and he's going to be taking Rivka back to Yitzchak. This was not theoretical Torah. This was Torah. This was it. And Eliezer understood that this is the moment where all pretenses are discarded, and I now know who I am. I am somebody who tries hard to be good, but where things are going on inside his heart, which he would wish would not be so. I better do something about it. This is Torah in practice. Now, the thing is that we're talking about the Mishkan, and we're talking about this whole nachas of the Ribbono shel Olam, that the Ramban says that it's derech chibur, v'alaklal kol zeh derech chibur v'derech maila. Why is the Mishkan such a chibur? Why is it such a beloved thing by the Ribbono shel Olam? You know, in Tetzaveh you have this unbelievable posuk, and it's like completely ununderstandable at the end of the whole Seder, I think it's just before Shishi, wherever it is, yeah. So Ani Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hotzeis Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim, L'shochni B'soichem. So Rashi learns, what does it mean, L'shochnom? What does the prefix Lamed mean? It means Al-Menos. Al-Menos, that I'll be shochni B'soichem. The Ramban says, no, it doesn't mean Al-Menos. He says Lamed, the prefix Lamed is never used in that sense. But L'shochni means in order. I took you out of Mitzrayim, because I craved closeness with you. I wanted to live among you, the Ribbono shel Olam said. Le shochni b'soichem. I took you out of Mitzrayim in order to have an opportunity to dwell among you. And the Ramban brings a lot of Mesholim, because he says, like the Chayre, we always thought that the Mishkan is Tzorech Hedyot. Like here it's Mashmah, it's Tzorech Gavoyah. It's the Ribbono shel Olam who needs it. The Ribbono shel Olam who is sort of gasping and saying, "Ooh, I wish I could sit among the Yidden. I wish I could live among the Yidden. I wish I could live among the Yidden." Ma pitom, ivah lemoshav lo, the Ramban stels to, ivah lemoshav lo. He wants, like ta'avo, he wants to be among Yidden. Why does he want to be among Yidden? And I think that the word is like this, that the Mishkan, and that is why the Torah makes such a fuss over here in these parshiyos about the Mishkan. Is what's really going on? What's going on is that the Mishkan is also real. The Mishkan is like Eliezer in Besuel's house. You see the whole emes. What do I mean? I'll read to you the Shtikel Ramban in Bamidbar. That's by the Machanos, the Machane Yisrael. How the Shvatim were divided. So he writes over here like this. This is in Bamidbar, Perek Beis, Psukim Beis to Lamed Aleph. Ish al Digloi ba'oisais. Like, how were the Shvatim divided around the Mishkan? So I'll read from the middle of the Ramban. Va'oidro isi b'medrash, o'keshem sheboro ha'kodesh boruch hu dalet ruchos ha'olam, kach sibev Lekisai, Dalet Chayos. So there are the four directions of the world, and there are the four Chayos that surround the Mishkan, the Kisei HaKovad. Ulemailo Mikulam Kisei HaKovad. Ukenegdan, Sidei HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaDegolim LeMoshe. Omale, he said to him like this. Mizrach, let's go to the east first. Now, what's the east? Shemimenu Oyer Yotze LeOilam. That's where the light comes from. The sun rises in the east. Yehei Kenegdo Yehuda Shehu Baal Melucha. Yehuda is the Melech. So he is the equivalent of the sun. The sun is like the Melech of the world. So that's where Yehuda is going to camp. Va'olav Shevet Yisocha, Shehu Baal Teira. Va'olav Shevet Zevulun, Shehu Baal Ashiras. So apparently where the Melech is, you have to have Teira on the one side and Ashiras on the other side and the Melech in the middle. And that is the beginning of the Jewish people. It's in the east. Oh, Rishonu Yisrael. So they come first. Like it says in Micha, Vayavo Malkom Lefneim Vashem Barosham. Okay, that's what happens in the east. Then we go round to the Doran, to the south. Okay. Talel Ebrocho Vegishme Ebrocho Yotzim Emen Eloilam. From the south, you have the beautiful, the dew. The dew and the rain, all these things which are wonderful for the earth, so that it should produce its harvests. Talel Ebrocho Vegishme Ebrocho Yotzim Emen Eloilam. Yehei Keneged Shifter Reuven. So it's Degel Machane Reuven in the south. Reuven, Shehu Baal Tshuva. Vatshuva Midda Toiva. Verachamo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Boin Le'olam. B'shor She'osen Tshuva. Tshuva does such wonderful things. It makes such pleasant things. It changes life into such a beautiful, beautiful, pleasant Zach. Right? And so the best place for Tshuva, and Reuven is Mr. Tshuva, of course, we know that. So that's in the south, that's where the rains and the dews come from. The all of God, Shehu Baal Gevura. So God is also there, one of the Bnei Shfachas, and he's also there, and he's Gevura. Reuven b'tshuva, v'God b'gevura, v'Shimon b'emtzo l'chape olav, u'shniyam yisor. Shatshuva shniyo hi l'toira. Now, what that phrase means, I have no idea. Shatshuva shniyo hi l'toira. And I guess that belongs to those aspects of the Ramban where he tells us all the time that we should be careful that that's not really meant for us. But what you see over here is, you see, Moyodik HaOra, I know I mentioned it in one of the shiurim maybe a year or two ago, I don't remember anymore, but I do know that I mentioned it, that in the Midbar, it suddenly struck me one day, and I think it's just the Metzias, but that when the Yidden were living in the Midbar, this was an ideal way of living which didn't continue when they went into Eretz Yisrael. Because in the Midbar, what did you have? You had the Mishkan in the center, then you had the Machane Leviya around it, Gershon, Kosar, Merari, and Moshe, Aaron, Avonov, and then you had Machane Yisrael, which means that no Yid in the Midbar lived outside one of the three Machanas. There was a Machane Shechina, Machane Leviya, Machane Yisrael. So, Kotchim Kalim, they would have been allowed to eat in the Machane Yisrael, wherever they were, because wherever the Yidden lived, that was Machane Yisrael. That was like Yerushalayim later on when they came to Eretz Yisrael. You had the Azor was Machane Shechina, you had the Harabah is Machane Leviya, and Yerushalayim was Machane Shechina, and you were allowed to eat Kotchim Kalim in Yerushalayim, Maaseh Sheni. But outside Yerushalayim, you didn't have that anymore. So thousands or perhaps millions of Yidden lived outside the Beis HaMikdash complex, but in the Midbar, each Yid was a chelek of the Beis HaMikdash complex. Because if you weren't a Levi, you lived in the Machane Yisrael. Where in the Machane Yisrael? Well, if you learned the Ramban, you know exactly what if you were in the east and what if you were in the south. I didn't read the north and the west because I just wanted to illustrate that the Mishkan was not a theory and saying that, you know what, that whenever you have somebody who has who's doing tshuva, make sure that a gevura guy the tshuva and gevura should be around to save the sinners, the shimans, let's say. That's a theory. But there they lived that. In other words, there was Shimon camping on the south. So the Rebbe Shimon made sure that Tshuva is there, Reuven is there, Gvura is there, God is there. And Mimele, Shimon's needs are fulfilled in a Torah-Dik context. In other words, the Mishkan was exactly the same. See, that what the Ramban is saying over there, I started this section off by asking, like, what's it got to do with Eliezer? Like, Yofes Ichoson Shel Avdei Ovos. I think that the comparison is really meduyak. It's very, very, very meduyak. That it's mamish the same thing. It's the difference between theory and practice. It's the difference between theory and practice. When Eliezer suddenly said, wow, I said Ulai, but I meant Elai. Oh, yeah, I have to be Mesak in this. That was Torah in practice. Yeah, the Mishkan was Torah in practice. There's no Yid in the world who doesn't belong, who doesn't deserve to be in the Machane Yisrael. The Machane Yisrael was a chelik of the Mishkan complex, which consisted of these three things, the Machane Shechina, the Machane Levir, and the Machane Yisrael. That was the complex. And every Yid had the right and the chelik to be there. That was the picture of Klal Yisrael, as Klal Yisrael is. When Rabbi Nisham said to himself, probably, I mean, I'm obviously Kavi Yochel, right? This is Ivol Moshev Lo. That's what I wanted. And this is exactly B'diyuk what I wanted. Givoch Hashem B'tzion, Ivol Moshev Lo. Eretz Yisrael. Like, if you want Yidden to be in Eretz Yisrael, you can't have every Yid living there. But Be'etzem, the Tzura of Klal Yisrael, demands that every Yid should be in the Machane Yisrael. So this is really why Yakel Pikudet. Like, even if it gets a little difficult, nochamol, the same things over and over and over and over and over again, that if we can get ourselves into the spirit of the Torah and say, yeah, you know why this is being repeated so often. Listen to Kala talking to her friends during the Sheva Brochus week. You know, by the Chasna, this happened, this happened, and this happened, and this happened, nochamol, nochamol. Wow, and you know, he said this, and he said that. Oh, it was so nice, right? She can't talk enough about it. That is what's happening. This is life as it is lived, not a theory as it ought to be lived, but life as it is lived, and particularly as it is lived by Elchayin. And Baruch Hashem, we have in our own circles, we have Yidden who are Nesu'ol Libam, who have this Vayigba Liba B'Darkei Hashem. I was thinking about this. I mentioned to a couple of Bochum in a Chabur, Rav Moshe Heinemann, a wonderful Rav in the Aguda over here in Baltimore. So he told me once about his father, Olav HaShalom. Rav Moshe Heinemann, everybody who knows Rav Moshe Heinemann knows that besides being a great, great, great Talmid Chacham and Pesach, he's also very handy. He can fix every car. And he can. Somebody told me the other day that he went to ask him a shaila, like, could he do this and could he do that? Like, is there an issa about this in doing this, in fixing his car? So he said, well, what's the matter with your car? So he said, this and this and this. So he said, you don't have to do any of that stuff. Just twist the screw and everything is going to be all right. In other words, he came to ask him a shaila and he fixed his car for him. Right? So he had this practical bent. He told me that this is all theory for most of you. For me, it's also theory. I was a child of eight at the beginning of the war in England. Baruch Hashem, we had escaped from Germany. So at the beginning of the war, England was totally unprepared for anything. So if Hitler would have invaded then, it would have been different. The whole world history would have changed very differently. Rachmon Litzlan, Baruch Hashem, Revanish, was Merachem. But they were completely unprepared. So among the stupid things that they did was that they arrested all the Jewish people who had come to England escaping from Hitler, because they were afraid Hitler's going to invade tomorrow. And all these Jews are Germans, so they're going to help the German armies. So we'd better get rid of them. And they took them and they put them in a prison in the Isle of Man. That's an island off the shore of Scotland, and kept them there for a few months, just that all these Yidden shouldn't help the Nazis. I mean, like, how stupid can you get? But all right, but that's what they did. So Moshe told me, Rabbi Moshe Heinemann told me, that his father was, mine was also among those that were arrested, and they had a sort of a collection area, a building, where they put all the people whom they arrested. So that when you've got them all there, so then you bring buses or whatever it is and take them where they have to go. But in the meantime, they were sitting around there with nothing to do. Oh, so there was one Yid there who did have something to do. Who was that? It was Mr. Heinemann, Moshe's father. What was he doing? He had a piece of paper and a pen. That's all he needed. You know what he was doing? He was writing a luach. He didn't know where he was going to be brought. He didn't know how long he would be there. He wouldn't know what would be available to him. He sat down and wrote a luach. Now, I got a secret to tell you. I've never written a luach. And if I were in turn and put in a place, that's the last thing I would have not only done, I would have thought of, right? Because I've got as much shaykhus to that as I don't know to what. Yeah? But this was a Yid who knew that the Zmanim in Torah are important, knew the halachas of the Luach, and what do you do when you've been arrested and you're going to be sent off to some camp and you never know where you're going to come back and when you're going to come back? Poshut, you make a Luach. The fact is that somebody gave me, they made a disc, I don't know who made it and I don't know where it comes from, but I think I still have it in the house, where they have five or six people who had gone through the camps Nebuch, each one of them, how they dealt with luach issues. And they'd said how they sat down and made the luach and so on and so forth. They probably made some mistakes along the way. But unbelievable, jeden, vayigba libo v'dake Hashem, und so'o libo. I'll just finish now also. I want to make this shiurim so long. But another vayigba libo v'dake Hashem. Yeah? Rabbi Eisenman, that's not me. That's my first cousins, the Moshe Eisenman, who used to be Rosh Yeshiva in Wineland, is not alive anymore. His sons, many of his sons, live in Lakewood, all of those sons. A big mishpacha, Baruch Hashem, Beruchat Banim. So, Osher Eisenman, he built this I can't think of the name now, a school for children, special needs children. He's a stiller guy. You have to have a hearing aid to hear him speak. Still and quiet and retiring, yeah? And this was needed? Nesoi Libe, a huge building, first class, right? With experts in every aspect of this kind of education. A Stutzach of Tishon Bank, when you see what's going there, when you stand there, when the school lets out at 4 o'clock or whatever it is, when it ends, and the buses standing in line, equipped with wheelchairs and equipped with this and equipped with that, you cannot imagine a stiller guy. Just like our sister was the shy retiring person who made nissen by the Kaisel. This Osher Eisenman made nissen in Lakewood, building a school like in first class. And being mezake, a big, big oilam, neso'o libo. So really this vayakel pasuk changes from being perhaps a little boring after nochamol, 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 nochamol. And every time you see neso'o libo, we should take a little musa and say, well, does meant man mir, to be neso'o libo, to challenge oneself to be great. Somebody said once, it is your duty to be great. Everybody has it, not in the same Indian. I can be great in the same that you can maybe, but to find greatness and to dare to be great, to dare to do even something which you can tell yourself 500 different reasons that you can't possibly do it. That is what Vayakhel is all about.